The Exhibitor Now podcast is your source for the latest news and interviews with thought leaders in the trade show and live event world. Hosted by Mark Johnson, owner of Exhibitor Group and CTSM, the industry's only university-affiliated professional certification program, and by Mike Morrison, industry podcaster and national sales director at WS Display. Give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you everything you need to know now.
Need a presenter? Your Event Audio has you covered. Closed-circuit audio equipment with turnkey operation at your trade show booth, live event, or private event. YourEventAudio.com is the place to go. DJ services, MC talent, and a whole lot more. Check out YourEventAudio.com today.
Save your seat now for Exhibitor Live 2024. The conference and exhibition for trade show and corporate event marketing is coming to Nashville, Tennessee, February the 25th to 28th. Exhibitor Live features 100 educational sessions and workshops covering everything you need to know to run a successful face-to-face marketing program. Plus, you'll enjoy 2 days to shop North America's largest exhibition of trade show and event products and services. Attention! Register now and save $400 with our early bird rate. Learn more at exhibitorlive.com.
It's the Exhibitor Now podcast coming to you from Bonita Springs, Florida, down in Fort Myers area, down in the southwest portion of the state. And we're here for EDPA Access 2023. Mike Morrison, National Sales Director, WS Display, co-host of the show. Of course, with me, as always, Mark Johnson, the owner of the Exhibitor Group. And we're just finishing up here at the Hyatt Regency Resort here in Bonita Springs, Florida. And as you can tell, if you're watching the video, we took some shots about with this resort about all the great things that are going on around here, Mark. There's water activity, very family-oriented. There's golf all the way around the facility. That's a mile down the road where we played this week. We're just wrapping things up here for EDPA Access. And as we wrap things up on day three, what are your takeaways from the event for 2023?
Well, I think one of the things that we talked about or they shared with us here, too, is the growth that the industry is experiencing. You know, last year at Exhibitor Live, we saw a lot of it coming back, and EDPA's Engage event had a record attendance.
Right.
And this year at the Access, it's another record attendance. So things are coming back. We're seeing a lot of activity going on. We're also seeing a lot of new faces. We're still seeing, again, 30 to 40% of the people that are new to this industry. And there was a lot of first-timers at this event, which was really great to talk to them and help them bring into it. I know when I started 30 plus years ago, it was because of the help of a few people that really brought me under their wing, introduced me to the industry and helped with it. And the amount that I've learned over the years from those people at events like this, it's been great. So I really enjoyed it.
A lot of content we talked about for the last 3 days. You and I got here early. You got here even earlier than I did to try to make it a weekend trip with the wife and everything. And I got here on a Sunday in order to take an extra day and just to try to take advantage of some weather. Of course, we played golf on Tuesday morning, the first morning of the event, and unseasonably cold. It was in the low 40s. Upper 40s, lower 50s, which for golf is kind of unbearable, actually.
Yes, it is.
But we did that, and then, of course, we jumped into the content aspect of the conference. Finished up with the award ceremonies last night. Got a lot of people getting some very great recognition who really deserved it. I think of Rob Cohen, who received the Hazel Hayes Award. That's the highest honor bestowed upon an EDPA member here at the event. Sandra Braun with Nth Degree, who won the Ambassador of the Year Award. Of course, we know her for her work with the Randy Smith and there in Atlanta. So two great people receiving great awards.
Yeah, and Amanda, Designer of the Year, she's one of our new employees. I wish, and I talked to Dasher, the one thing I want to change is when somebody wins, please let us know, because we would have made sure she was here to get the award and recognize it. But it was great for her to see the honor, and we shared it with the company back in some of the video, so they're all pleased with it, and she's great, and all the people are. I mean, it's great to be recognized by the work you're doing in the industry, and there's some phenomenal people here, so it was great to be a part of that.
Absolutely. So a couple of other bullet points before we go into our interview time. As you'll notice, we're doing video now as we're going to start that trek here on the Exhibitor Now podcast. And basically, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I do remember this. You remember the story, Mark, about Yellow Trucking. This was the organization who went bankrupt because of various reasons. Most companies go bankrupt, do they? Had debt problems, yeah. Right? And got a little too big. And basically, now there is a smaller company, I believe the name was Jack Cooper Transport, if I remember correctly, that wants to buy them. And they've made an offer, and now I guess it's all congressional and legalities that are involved because of the bankruptcy aspect. There's debt that's involved. There's multiple billions of dollars of assets with trucks, trucking facilities that they're trying to, I believe, liquidate to handle the debt. And part of that acquisition from this other company would involve money being loaned out there, like at the tune of about $700 billion or something like that. So at least there's discussion now that the possibility is that Yellow might be able to be saved, or will it be liquidated? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be saved, because if they've already gone into bankruptcy, that's the issue. They're stuck, but they could resurrate or rise from the ashes as a different company, and that truly is the problem. I think with the bankruptcy laws that are out there, it's really tough to do that, because people are owed money, they want to get something, sell that truck so I get my money. That's where the battle comes in. And to be honest, that was one of the big reasons we moved really quick with Exhibitor, because Lee was going to go down that path, unfortunately, and if it was bankrupt, then it's just years before you can really turn things back on.
Right.
So I'm hoping that a company like that can move a little bit quicker. I believe it could take longer than that, and it may not happen as much as we would like. But we're seeing, again, what do we see? A shortage of drivers, and all those drivers are going to other places and getting jobs. It'll be interesting if they can get them back, even if they do put it together.
And that's what the article that I read stated, was that a lot of that business went to other places, other companies, and they might have a little input on what happens. It's like, well, actually, we've seen growth because of the situation. So you might see a little bit more than the legalities come into play, but also the industry itself might not be too keen on having another major competitor come back, even as a leaner company with less debt and less maybe trucks on the road. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, as Yellow has always been a major player in the trade show and live event industry. Also, finally, before we go into our interview time, we noted last week that RSNA is happening. And I believe it may have already finished.
Yep.
This week. It just finished up in
Yep.
Chicago.
Yep.
And that was the first show for Freeman implementing their new rigging rules. So as we mentioned last week, we have riders, you have riders that are there covering that. So I'm really eager, chomping at the bit, to hear what feedback they have coming off of that. I bring that up because I just had a situation with one of our clients. Now, it's not I'm not sure, I haven't confirmed if it's a Freeman show or not, but the Los Angeles Convention Center just had rules shown to them that if you've got a wall that's over 12 foot tall, it has to have an engineering stamp. And apparently some people didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be common sense for a common knowledge among many of our industry people, but this was a person that bought one of our custom exhibits. It was a 12 foot custom wall, and they're having to tie it off to the roof. And he's like, that's extraordinarily expensive. And I'm like, well, the other option is not exhibit at all, or you might be able to modify your wall, but your graphics are already made. So you've got a lot of challenges there you have to take. So this whole rule of engineering stamps and all of these other rules that are coming to play will be real interesting to follow in 2023 for the rest of what's left of this year, plus 2024.
Yeah, and that was one of the topics here, obviously, this week, and we wrestled with that a little bit. And as you said, we've got our writers who first brought it up and have been trying to follow the story, and we will get more information to the readership as it goes. We also are working with EDPA and ESCA. Julie's actually put an initiative together to help us talk to Freeman and work through these things and see what's going on. All of us realize there's things that happen, costs, changes, whatever, that go into it. But as you mentioned earlier, the big thing is the knowing ahead of time. You know, if you know ahead of time, it could be a $5,000 problem, and you can solve it pretty easy. But if you know it on the show floor, you're now putting zeros behind that, and it becomes a big issue of what our customers, our end customers, are getting into, and they have no choice. And then that's where the frustration and the anxiety goes with a lot of people with it, and who's stuck in the middle and has to cover all that. In a lot of cases, it's us as suppliers or the exhibit partners that the end customer wants us to take care of. So all we really want to know as associations and as an industry, let's know about ahead of time, let's work through this. And again, it was even talked about, can you imagine if these show regs were coming out and before they came out, they actually talked to us and maybe got our feedback and a little insight on, hey, this could work, but could you try this or what about that? And be a part of it. And I really think Julie Inesca is doing a great job. She'll do more with us, and she's also part of our presentation. She's going to have a spot at Exhibitor Live to really cover some more of these issues. But she's working with EDPA and Dasher with it too to see what we can solve for. One of the big issues, it's an ever-changing industry, but the more we can communicate ahead of time and work together, obviously it all works better. We can't kill this golden goose, as Bill Haney always calls it, that's feeding all of us. So let's make sure we take care of the industry as it goes forward. We got a couple points on that too I want to talk about today.
Sure.
One, today is Dee Selfie's last day. Dee has done so much for this industry that we actually promoted her for the Hazel Haze. We talked about the awards and some of the stuff that's going on with that.
Right.
She has educated more than 50,000.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Of our end customers. And this whole industry lives off of that. And we got to take care of those people with that. So Dee's just chose to go do some other things, and we support her with that. I can't tell you what she's done for this industry and for Exhibitor. We want to honor her in every way we can. We're going to continue to promote her work and stuff as it goes forward. And we wish Dee nothing but the best. But little sour day is, you know, today's her last day. She's going to continue to work for with us and help us in the transition. But official day-to-day duties are done today. So I wish Dee the best.
You know, I've been doing Mark Exhibitor for a number of years. It was the first show I did when I came into this industry back in 2001. And Exhibitor was just always a staple. So I've watched that education be paramount with this. And it is a class act, because there's always hundreds of courses that you can take, the CTS members can take, and be university affiliated and receive that credit. So it obviously has a lot of class with it. To see the pioneer of that aspect of Exhibitor leave, of course we've seen transition happen all throughout this transition period, and it's just what happens when companies change. But it is tough when one of the good players makes their way out and goes in a different direction. You know, Randy Acker comes to mind. We were just off mic a little while ago. Actually, Randy, if you're watching this, we were just mentioned your name about how much you played into this role of Exhibitor Group and Exhibitor Media Group, if you will, back in the day. And I traveled the road with him too. We did things together at the same events where he spoke. And you know, it's tough to lose the good ones.
Yeah, I worked with Randy for years too, and he is. He's really one of the good ones with it. And actually, Randy was president running the day-to-day, but prior to that, Dee actually played that role for a while. She was actually president of the company for a while, and Leon really was taking it off. But she had the insight for the education. We're continuing the CTSM program. We're, you know, going to only expand and increase that. I know there was some concern, is that going away? No, it's not. We did listen, as we've talked about before, for some of the feedback. You'll see three single-day certificates coming up, and one of them was just announced here at Access. EDPA is going to have a separate track for the EDPA, the supplier side, and there will be a discount for EDPA members, and we're working with their education group. Steve Deckel is the main guy driving that with it, and Jeff Hanna and I will be working with them and David and the whole team to make sure we create that education path for the supplier side. As we're seeing, again, 40% of the market is brand new. All the people that are coming here from both sides. And we've actually heard in some of our surveys, the end customers, one of their concerns is they don't have a team at their exhibit house partner that's educated enough to really help them. If they're more educated than their partner, it's out of balance. So we got to make sure we take both sides of it. And we're really excited about the opportunity with that exhibitor. We know Exhibitor Live is coming up here just a couple of months. But again, it was a good show here with all the highlight, we talked about some of that education and good content. Several of the speakers from sustainability and that will also be at live coming up with some of the new and up-to-date topics, and data that's going forward.
It's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that happened this week here in Bonita Springs, Florida, in Southwest Florida. So what we're going to do is take a quick break, as we always do. We have a special interview time that I did with Julie Keggy. As many of you know, she's taking over the reins of ESCA. So Julie and I had an opportunity to sit down and just chat about things, of course, for next week. By the time our next week's show comes around, we will all have already completed the winter award ceremonies and the see you later, if you will, or good luck retirement get-together for Larry Arnaday, who's the previous executive director of ESCA. So, but we sat down with Julie. We picked her brain on what are some of the things that are going to be changing with ESCA. What are the things we can look forward to? So let's take a quick time out. Come back with that interview with Julie Keggy here on the Exhibitor Now podcast. It comes up next after this.
Are you searching for trade show and event products and services? Find it on Exhibitor Exchange is your complete buyer's guide to trade show exhibiting and events, featuring the trade show industry's top exhibit and display providers. Find it on Exhibitor Exchange is the industry's best shopping and commerce resource for buyers and sellers of exhibit and event products and services. Reaching 20,000 exhibit and event buyers in every print issue of Exhibitor Magazine and 140,000 exhibit and event buyers online each year. Search the listings or list your company today. Learn more at exhibitoronline.com/findit.
Welcome back to the Exhibitor Now podcast. Mike Morrison from WS Display back here at Bonita Springs, Florida for Access, EDPA Access 2023. As you can see, we have our first guest on our video podcast, which I'm excited about. I've always joked that she's like my sister from another mother because she can't be my brother from another mother. But Julie Keggy joins me now, who came down to make the conference. And busy time right now because we're getting ready as soon as you and I both. We leave here, we go home, we repack, and then we turn around and head to Dallas for the Winter Awards Ceremonies, where there'll be a lot going on there before we start diving into that and also the transition of what's happening with you and ESCA. Welcome to the show. Again, you're always on our Association Focus podcast, one of the better disciplined associations who gives us the updates on what's going on with the with their association. And there's always a lot going on with ESCA these days. So, you look well. Hope you're doing well, and welcome to our show.
Wasn't I on one of your first podcasts?
Oh, yes.
Years and years ago.
Oh, well, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then I feel honored. So if this goes to a hologram, I get to be yours.
You're the first guest that actually comes onto the video side. I've done like so many years of audio because of the face for radio. So this is a transition for me as well. Mama said I had that face for radio, and I always listened until now. So, but let's talk a little bit about, first of all, Monday night. That's going to be a big deal. I'm flying to Dallas specifically for that event. It's the Winter Awards Ceremony for ESCA, where a lot of awards will get presented, but also a very sobering goodbye from the industry to Larry Arnaday, who's ran ESCA Rutherford for a long time. And that's going to be a tough one, I would think. Don't you think?
Yeah. Larry's 54 years in the industry. He's been running ESCA since 16, 17 years now. He's been the executive director. But before that, he was always involved in ESCA. He's the past president of ESCA. So Larry's retiring. Larry's a legend. Larry's a legacy. Larry's my mentor. He's played a pivotal role, not just in ESCA, but in our industry. Yeah, we're going to be celebrating that, celebrating a year that, frankly, was a year, man, am I right?
Yes.
2023, where 1,000 shows happened in a compressed schedule, everything activated a little all at once, and so celebrating that we made for.
Absolutely.
Giving up some really good awards. For ESCA, I'm pretty excited. We are going to have 14 past presidents in the room at one time. How cool is that?
That is crazy.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited about that.
Now, I know we off mic, we chatted about, don't mention the taking over and the congratulatory aspect, but seriously, congratulations on becoming the new boss lady for ESCA, because that is, and I've seen a lot of movement lately. A lot of things are advancing, some collaborative partnerships that are happening on behalf of ESCA. The most recent one, I believe, maybe you could talk a little bit about from a technology enhancement, from what I understand.
Yeah, we have a few technology enhancements and a couple new partnerships. So we're partnering with 42chat to be our chatbot and really work to elevate our event and take it to the next level as far as engaging with our attendees and streamlining communication. The second one is with EventAid, which I don't know, for those of you know, that's Jay Tokosh. You know, he's definitely one of the innovative geniuses in the events world, and this is, you know, kind of the latest from Jay.
Right.
So it's going to change our educational connection with the audience. You're going to be able to communicate with the speaker. You're going to have takeaways. You're going to have your notes. You're going to have the voice, the PowerPoint, the everything, and you can continue the conversation after. So we're going to launch that at our June summer conference. I'm very, very excited about both of those partnerships. And then we have Event Movie that does our mobile app. I mean, we have so many great partners that are so willing to support, elevate, work with us to change the events industry. And hear that feedback of where we were, where we need to be, and the issues are. So I'm excited about all of that.
You know, anytime you get a new head of anything, when there's a transition period, there's always some things that will change. If you had to, and I'll pick one. I'll ask you to throw one out there. Since we've already talked about technology, maybe what else can we expect to change in the face of ESCA moving forward for its members and for the industry?
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell you overarching. I'm three. I'm going to talk a little bit about that.
That's fine.
So I am excited to take on the executive directorship of ESCA. I have to give a lot of kudos to Larry. He's very intentional. He said this has been a very smooth transition. It's been years. So my top three initiatives are membership value, meeting enhancement, and education, and the ESCA badge program. That's the one I want to talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
That one's huge. So our number one focus in 2024 is going to be enhancing, growing, and innovating within the ESCA badge program. So at ESCA, we have two new hires now. So we have Rachel Rodine join us as Director of Education and Events, and Karen Murphy is going to be joining us as the director.
The other boss lady, by the way.
Other boss lady, the director of client engagement. And she's going to be really driving that program, the ESCA badge program. And Mark Murphy, our director of IT, he's the same thing in the operation. So we have, in Q1, I think we have 27 separate lines that are going to have to all innovate at the same time to enhance that program. So you're going to see things like, we're working with vendor approval, visitor access, getting Safety Act certified through the Department of Homeland Security, changing payment methods. Mark just launched a new website this past weekend, brand new website was launched to go with the ESCA badge program. So we are hoping that by the end of 2024 that we've taken what Larry and Mitt and, you know, those that came before us created and brought it to its next evolution. And in integrating so much technology, but really safety, security, usability, consistency. If we do this right, the badge should be able to be used nationwide and add even more levels of safety and security to our members and our trade show and events family.
I'm going to, at the risk of asking, as I've watched ESCA develop, I've watched, it's like around 30 facilities, somewhere between 20 and 30 facilities that the ESCA badge is applicable. I don't know the exact number. It just seems to me that there should be more of those out there involved with the ESCA badge. And I don't know why. I can speculate, but at the end of the day, you say working across the country, but is there a big focus on adding more of those locations to the roster?
Yeah, I think, frankly, I think that we'll double and then be at almost all of those in the next 5 years or so. We should double this year, but we're actually holding back at this moment and asking them to wait just a little bit because we want to roll out all of these enhancements. It is our number one focus. It is our biggest capital expenditure for 24. Once those roll out, then we want to have the new venues. But we want to do it once and do it right. So if we can wait just a few months and, you know, really work on enhancing the program. I mean, we're having roundtable and user group meetings with the venues that are using it, letting them play a part of all of this innovation, getting really candid feedback on what works and what doesn't work, engaging with the contractors, engaging with local communities. A lot to do, but to answer your question, that's our goal, is to make it so easy, so safe, so secure, that everybody just wants to be in place. I mean, we're a nonprofit association. Our job is to protect our members. Our job is to serve our members and to serve the industry. So any proceeds that come from that go right back to the industry, whether it is through safety and security, education and advocacy, whatever.
Well, that makes total sense. I've just sat back and watched, and of course, I've gone into several locations with my badge. I've got an ESCA badge, and waltzed through without absolutely no problem. Anaheim comes to mind. Of course, Georgia World Congress Center just recently did that for setup without having to go through all the wristband stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the development of more locations and the advancement of the benefits of it.
I'm really excited about that.
That'll be huge. Let's finally shift to summer educational conference, which after this coming Monday will be the next, I guess, big focus event for ESCA, and that's going to be in Hot Springs, Virginia.
We just did a site visit 2 weeks ago.
You didn't carry me.
It's so cool.
So it doesn't count.
It's at the Omni Homestead. The hotel itself is older than America. I think it's 1774.
Oh, wow.
It has the the first tee in America is there. It was a 6-hole course back then, but they kept the first tee in America and the first spot in America.
That's awesome.
You just drive in through the mountains and then you get there and it just opens up in front of you. It is going to be
picturesque,
iconic event for us in the venue itself. I mean, it's incredible.
How did that come about? How did that venue come up?
And they approached us. And I said, "Whoa, this seems really cool and inconveniently located." So that sounds like that's right up our alley, right?
Right. Now, where do you fly into?
Roanoke. And then you drive an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, my.
But let me tell you, it is the most beautiful drive. I mean, we stopped 4 times and took pictures. Waterfalls and mountains and sunsets and sunrises. It was me, Pat Custer, and Taylor Rains, and we absolutely had an adventure. It was so great.
So it was a lot of aha moments.
A lot of them. But we'll be running shuttles.
An hour, 45-minute shuttle, that's a haul.
It will not be cooler aboard. We don't want it to pour an hour. Excited about that. And you know what? Let's talk about ATA.
Here we
are. How cool is this? This is my first time at ATA.
That's correct. That's one thing I mentioned, I think, on the front end, is that there's we're actually in the EACA organization area with Jim Warren was nice enough to let us shoot here at his table, and because they're having a session inside. But I believe you're here. He's here. Who else is here in the association?
We have Jessica Silva with Exhibitor
Advocate
here.
Yep.
You have Exhibitor with David Dubois.
Sure.
And Mark Johnson are here.
I better mention that.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's a really good sign of where we're at. We have our last summer education conference. We had almost every association presented.
Yes.
It's something that I personally am working really hard on in bringing us together and figuring out where we can make the best rides. So we spend a lot of time talking about things like sustainability, safety, workforce development, industry awareness. These are all things where we all need to be together. So we all are up here to represent, but there's these overarching issues that benefit all of us where we should be consolidating our resources, whether they're people, time, or money resources. We're stronger together. And so that's why I'm here, is, you know, to support Dasher and EDPA and to learn from each other and to help the industry.
Seems to be a collaborative effort across the board in the industry. Besides, you know, the associations, I'm seeing a lot of that these days with companies, with product, with mindsets that maybe it's over way past time for that to happen, basically, because it's always been my way, our product. All we care about is the proprietary aspect of it. Now there seems to be a little bit of a Reese's peanut butter cup type of mindset. Maybe chocolate and peanut butter can work together. So, sad analogy, right?
I will say, so joining ASA, nice you know, I came from one of the member companies and was a member of that. It was so strange to me when I first showed up, just sitting there with my competitors, you know, where we have these very, you know, adversarial type of relationship. You know, sitting at each other. But then to get into that room and that hat comes off, and we come together to work on the good of the industry.
Correct.
And how we grow the industry, how we advocate for the industry, how we drive issues for the industry. I said it to Jim Walmart in the booth. We're not always going to agree.
Right.
And that's okay because we're representing our membership, which has different objectives. But on those other things where we can, how can we be sure? How do we get there faster together and serve our industry as a whole? Right?
Yeah.
COVID really let us. We have ECA now, you know, Tom Sherwood and his group advocating for all of us. A huge shout out to, you know, the instructors on that, people have gone pretty fast to train them. But that proves that we should and weren't doing good enough to hold on. So let's take that to the next.
This industry had a lot of that assumption that we're invincible. And COVID did teach us, wow, you know, you can get knocked down a couple of pegs pretty quickly. So, yes, it's an exciting discussion with Julie Keggy, the new executive director of ESCA, coming up really soon to a city near you. And we're going to take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up for this week after this.
Attention, trade show and event marketing professionals. Are you ready to take your face-to-face marketing expertise to the next level? Join more than 3,000 candidates currently enrolled in Exhibitor Group Certified Trade Show Marketer Program. CTSM is corporate America's top source of the industry's best trade show and corporate event training. CTSM certified trade show marketers enjoy expanded career opportunities, greater respect and authority in their organizations, and earn higher salaries than their acronym-free peers. Learn more, earn more. Visit ctsm.com today.
Great interview with Julie, Mike. She's remarkable. I mean, Larry's done a great job, as we've talked about with that. But some of the changes that she's got in mind, and she's responding really well. As we talked earlier with the Freeman situation and some of the hanging signs, she's responding really quick and putting the people together. And I really enjoy working with her. So all change comes. Larry's done a great job. I wish him the best. Thank him for all that he's created. But Julie's great and a great interview.
It'll be interesting to see the changes that we will see implemented in 2024. Of course, I'll be flying on Monday out to Dallas for the Winter Awards ceremonies. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing our general contractor services side of the industry. This week was experiential designers and producers, and then next week is going to be contractors. And then that's going to wrap it up for the year, Mark. And hopefully I won't have to travel anymore till January. And then it just kicks into overdrive as we see shows kick off. You know, CES, I think it's like a week later than what it normally is. It's usually like right after New Year's, or you're setting up during New Year's. And so maybe they kind of got smart and extended that out some so people can enjoy the little bit of the holidays. But then the shows just start kicking off and taking off, and then it gets kind of crazy after that.
Yeah, I think it's 9, 10, and 11 is CES. So you said it's the week after that. It is. It's just after the first of the year, it is off to the races again. So hopefully the industry, all of us, you and I, get a chance to breathe a little bit. Next week, I'm actually up in D.C. with Exhibit Edge, the company we just purchased. I'll spend some time with them, getting to know them and making sure that we bring that group together and work there. Then I am going home, too, for a couple of weeks, and we'll be in Minnesota for the holidays. But then, as we've talked about, I'm actually a permanent resident now in Vegas, and so we're packing up the dog and driving there, and we'll be in Las Vegas by New Year's and spend the rest of the time there and open up our facility in Las Vegas, and it'll be a lot of fun. But, yeah, the shows are just going to take off, and I know I got to get some rest. I've actually got a cold that I pushed hard too long. You've been fighting some stuff on and off, too. It just finally catches you. And I know this industry is, we're all excited about the growth we've had this year. We're excited about being back together. And a lot of hugs this week and yes. stuff like that. And I owe you one too. It's our anniversary. It was a year ago we started this.
It was
this.
A year ago. Yeah. That's right. This was the event that everything started with. We joked about it because we went to lunch the day before things got kicked off. And we talked and said, okay, this is what we can do. I pretty much told Don, you know, thanks and appreciate the memories. You know, and he's rocking and rolling, doing his thing. I did see where he and Chris Griffin they're going to take Exhibit Builders and kind of go that way with their first podcast on Exhibit City News. I wish them the best of luck. Yeah. I told Chris, I said, you know, you've got a great audience with the content that you're doing. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about content and people can see what's going on. And what we know what's going on in our industry is it's time for the holidays. We're going to wind down. I did talk to Sandra Braun last night. She's going to come on the show and talk to us. Hopefully we'll have that next week. If not next week, it'll be shortly thereafter. Rob Cohen, will reach out to him and get him on from the major award winners. You got a designer of the year that you should be able to hook us up with.
I get Amanda on the show, yeah.
Get her on the show and talk about everything. And then we'll get ready to really focus as we head into the sprint towards Exhibitor Live coming up in Nashville, Tennessee at the end of February. So we appreciate you watching our first podcast video side of this. Hopefully we'll do a lot more of these here on the Exhibitor Now podcast.
The Exhibitor Now podcast. Give us 30 minutes and we'll give you everything you need to know now.